You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good, Gene Johnson. AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's The Americans After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's The Americans After Show.
Welcome to the Americans After Buzz After Show season finale. This is it, JTJ.
I know. At least we went out with a bang.
We did.
Like a real bang.
Like a bang. Well, not a literal bang, but just kind of like a emotional bang and a punch.
Yeah.
That's a lot. They gave us like a couple sneak attacks at the end there. Like it kept going on.
Oh, yeah. Like, no, every storyline like just derailed, basically, like went a completely opposite course.
Yeah, well, I'm Joe Braswell. Obviously, I'm joined, as always, by the lovely Jennifer Golden.
Hello, everybody.
There she is. We're not joined by the lovely Joe Sanfilippo, who is not here. He had an assignment, so he missed the season finale, but he loves you all as much as we all do. So, hi, Joe. And, but yeah, man. Oh, there he is. I know. I don't love him, though. But, yeah, so season finale. So I kind of, Joe and I touched on this last week, about how last year the season finale ended kind of with like an action sequence. It ended with like, you know, gunplay and stuff happening. And this whole season was the opposite of that. It was very like deliberate and sort of, you know, kind of spy-y and not a lot of action, not a lot of explosions, not a lot of gunplay. But we did, and then the season finale was a lot of the same. Like I thought there'd be this big bloodbath with Lyric and Philip and Elizabeth, there'd be this big shootout.
There was a little bit of a bloodbath.
Well, there was, but yeah. I thought there'd be this big cat and mouse shootout and a car chase, and I don't know if Stan would like, you know, be fighting Oleg and Arkady, or I don't know who.
Wait, so does that mean though? Then you didn't like the finale,
no,
or you
love
do?
Love the finale. Okay. I love what they did. I love what they're able to accomplish with this finale and keep us both like, I think between the two of us, we said, oh my God, like 45 times.
Yeah. So I think, still feel it inside. I'm a little bit like taken back by the whole thing.
It was a lot going on. So I mean, we should unpack a lot of it, but, I mean, you know, so the theme of this episode and the theme of this season has been sort of family and the importance of family and keeping this family together and the realization of how, you know, how much, you know, Henry and Paige mean to Philip and Elizabeth and,
yes,
you know, in the wake of what happened with Emmett and Leanne and the kids.
Oh, don't even get me
started.
And
yeah, and so the whole season we were like, look, what's going on with Emmett and Leanne, and oh, poor Jared is left alone, and you know, and there is Elizabeth trying to console him and do the right thing, and this whole time, and even you know, Margot Martindale, Claudia's is distraught.
But she thought it was her fault. The whole
thing. This whole thing, this whole season, and then like, so then this bleeds over to how they're dealing with Paige and Paige's need to sort of search for something outside the family, and how they dealt with that, and it all was a big old fat lie. You know, which is super ironic.
I mean, everything went in a different direction, like I said. It's just so surprising, yet so genius, writers of The Americans.
Sure. Because, we all thought and assumed that Lyric was the killer, right?
I never felt like he was, because he kept saying he wasn't. And it was like, why would he say he isn't when he, A, doesn't really care.
Right.
And is a tough guy. And B, just why? Why would he say he wasn't?
Well, I want to jump in. I got some questions about Lyric. I'll get to that in a second. But so we find out that, you know, it opens with Paige doing her thing. This really cool sort of opening sequence, cut to music, cut to, I don't know the name of the song, but, you know, living in the Twilight Zone. This is a madhouse. Something.
Anyway,
yeah, that one. So that cut between, you know, Philip and Elizabeth finishing one of their last mission of the season, as it turns out, and Paige doing her protest and watching good old Pastor Tim, not creepy, Pastor Tim, getting chained to the.
It bugs me that we don't know more about Pastor Tim because
you were here
last
week.
No, but and I watched it last night. And they touched on him being a total creeper. And yes. then nothing happened.
So wait, so Joe and I talked about this last week, just very briefly about Pastor. I want to get your perspective on this. Like, so was Pastor Tim hitting on her? What did you get in that thing in the bus?
Yeah. I think he was definitely hitting on her. I mean, I don't know if that's his like way of like sucking her into the church group more, or like it seemed a little cultish almost. You know how like cult leaders are very charismatic, yep. and they're attractive, and they're, I mean, not that Pastor Tim is attractive, but
that hair is not doing any favors.
It's like orange. Yeah. Someone needs to re-dye that man's hair.
Yes.
But that is neither here nor there. So he had that cult leader thing where it was like seducing, you know, his like people.
Yeah.
Because then they love him. It's a different, they'll do whatever he wants because they love him.
The way Joe Flippo read it was that it was actually Paige who has a crush on him and is wide-eyed. And he's just being, I mean, you can read it in both ways, right? You can read it like, you know,
I'm
Paige
gonna stick
has
with
a crush.
My theory.
But I just thought that his hand on her, like, shoulder was a little too long. Just a couple seconds too long.
And the glance at her. It was a little...
Yeah. I think there might have been a glance back. It was too much. Anyway, so we saw...
It was, like, held way too long. It was, like...
All of it. It was just... Yeah, it was too much. So we see Pastor Tim get arrested. And
Bye.
And this really galvanizes, really inspires and galvanizes Paige, who comes back with this big, giant speech about sort of sacrifice and the greater good and having a purpose. And this is not... It's not about the church. It's about what he did, he being Jesus, I suppose, you know, sacrificing or God sacrificing his son or whatever you want to say. And so, but on their end, they got to see poor old Fred. Is that his name?
Fred, yes, Fred.
Poor old Fred, who, you know, I know I got a name right for once.
I know.
Finally, it only took 13 episodes.
Yeah. Well, Fred, now 26, exactly. If you're really counting, but.
So Fred, good old Fred, he did his little job. He did his mission. He get in there. He, you know, obviously, it sucks because they kind of forced him to it and he really didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
He knew it was
kind of
going to be
nice
dodgy,
try.
But it went wrong, but he did get the shoes. He did do the dump and he did go code gray. As the police called him. He was code gray, which means dead, I'm assuming. I don't know.
Well, it sounded... Well, wouldn't he be, like, code red if he was... Well, that would be flatlining.
Well, no, they're like, he's code gray. He's dead. I think that's what police talk for, like, he's dead in the phone booth.
Yeah.
So that's when they knew to leave, when he was code gray. But... But more importantly, they got back and they had the whole conversation about sacrifice. They talked about how Fred sacrificed. They had this sort of implied conversation.
There's always so many parallels.
Yeah, it's all day long. And then
it's all day long.
This implied conversation that, you know, well, we're all sacrificing for the greater good. And they were so sort of proud of it. Like, yeah, well, that's what we're about. And, you know, and Elizabeth even touches on it in that moment. She says something to the effect of, you know, I wish we could tell her about what we do. Like he said, I wish we could tell her the real heroes instead of some made-up fairy tale or whatever she said.
And she was saying how she was, like, happy that, like, Paige is so passionate about something.
Yes, yes. So you can see the early seeds being planted
Elizabeth,
you know.
But still didn't see it coming, like, did not at
didn't
all.
Didn't see it coming. Well, the other thing is, like, I mean, the early seeds being planted for Elizabeth, who seems to be turning at the end, like, well, maybe we should make her a spy, which we'll get to that.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, and then but it also sort of speaks to, like, what we've seen from Elizabeth all season, which is this sort of, like, maternal Elizabeth, like, you know, like she had with the Lydia.
Lucia,
thank you. Darn it, that streak's over. what she did with Lucia and then that sort of like an maternal thing she had going with Lucia and also, you know, obviously with Jared, you know, the whole thing with Jared. And so this whole need to sort of like really, you know, embrace and it has a lot to do with coming from a place of what she does for a living, her pride in the cause and being a spy is what she's really trying to evangelize, if you will, and tell to these people in a maternal way and teach them. And so she wants nothing more than to give that to Paige. I mean, really, as a mother, I mean, and to know Elizabeth, knowing Elizabeth a little bit about Elizabeth, like, she would be thrilled if she can just teach Paige the ways and they can clean guns together and try on wigs, you know, and do whatever kids do.
She's been trying to protect her and keep her alive for all these years, and it's like, now you want to put her in harm? Yes, you know, obviously she would be taught how to survive.
Right.
But, like Elizabeth said in a previous scene to Jared, there are risks involved. Jared.
Jared, yes. It is a weird thing, too, in that I mean, it's a shift, right? Because up until now, like, this is kind of what we touched on last season. And, you know, we talked about Paige is snooping around, Paige mm-hmm. and her spy training, so snooping around, is that they didn't have to worry about Paige when she was 0 through 12.
Right.
She's just, you know, who cares, you know? But so when you hit 12, between 12 and 14, you start to become, you know, you start to become a teenager. You start, you know, you start to become a, you know, a pain in the ass, sort of snoopy teenager, and that's right. exactly what Paige was doing. She's snooping. She's not buying the old. Poor Henry's still like, yeah, they're jogging.
Oh, I yeah, love
they're
Henry.
On a hike, and he's at the store. What do you mean, Paige? Paige's like, ugh.
Yes, he was like, where do you think they are, Paige? Like, that was a great question. Where do you think they are?
Right.
She's like, I don't know, and I don't care. Well, you clearly care.
Yeah, that's just so well played between like the difference in ages. And this is kind of the point. Like 3 years ago, that was Paige. Paige would have bought anything. Like, oh, they're on a hike. You know, for 2 hours.
Right.
I'm going to, they drag us out here, and then she's going to go on a hike, and Dad's going to go to the store in the middle of nowhere. Want to play Parcheesi? It's like, you know, that's for, right. for Henry. Anyway, so, yeah, I can see, it makes sense to me that Elizabeth would come around to wanting that for Paige, but I'm getting slightly ahead of myself because I want to talk about Larrick. We still have to tie up this thing with Jared.
Yeah, well, that's where I was going to go with the parallel for Paige, is that I said, you know, when we, like, saw that Jared turned out to be
A spy in his own.
And he's the one who killed Leanne and Emmett, yeah. which is, like...
And his own sister.
And his sister. And he said she didn't deserve that. But, listen, Jared, crazy. I knew there was something creepy about him this whole time. I knew it.
He was a little creepy.
And remember when they were... We're so
like Monday morning quarterbacks on this one. Oh, yeah, he was creepy.
I knew he was creepy. I didn't know what was creepy about him, right. but I knew he was creepy. I remember seeing him eye the knife in the kitchen.
Oh.
Remember when I think Elizabeth was there pretending to be the social worker?
Right.
And then also who came by? Stan came by.
Right.
And I felt very... nervous because he was like eyeing things around. He had that like spy technique where it was like, I will get something and I will do this. Like, right. He did seem in control, even though he was the one that was like being supervised.
It's very true. And it's one of these things where I'm sure if we rewatch the whole season,
totally,
all that we're like, ah, of course. Right. Oh, right there. Right. You did the look. You know, like,
right.
It's what I mean. Ah. That's the kind of cool thing about them. I'm sure that the Jays, you know, Joe and Joel, Joel and Weisberg and Fields, laid this thing out.
Wait, they have a Joel and a Joel?
I think it's Joe and Joe. I think they're both
There's
Joels.
A lot of Joes and Joels.
I think they're both Joe. Joe Fields and Joel and Joe Weisberg.
I believe you're right. And we've got two Joes here and a Jen.
Yeah, the Jays. They're everywhere. I think.
And the Jennings family.
That's right. It's everywhere. I think that, like, if you rewatch that thing, I think all the clues are there because, you know, it's easy for us. And the show never takes the easy way out. So Larrick being the killer is just a little too easy, right? But although it was kind of cool to watch Larrick systematically spy and find and track and the whole suspense of, like, what's he going to do? What's he really want? Does he want Jared? Does he want, like, you know, what's going on
What's
here?
The end game? I don't mind that he killed Jared.
You don't mind that? Larrick. That Larrick killed Jared. Yeah, that makes sense. Because that was a weird... That
kind of puts a button on that whole scenario. Because we thought it was Larrick who did it, and it was really Jared who did it, and we were protecting Jared from Larrick. But really, they shot it out.
And we're jumping around a bit, but I just... I have
There's
a question.
So much that happened.
No, I'm because I'm going to jump back
Keep
to another place.
Keep us on track.
No, we're jumping around. It's fine. Lots to talk about. I'm just curious about... So Larrick, who spent all this time sort of tracking them down and in killing folks, he killed Kate... You know, very, very ruthlessly to get some information. He killed my man, you know, the telephone guy, George, is it?
George.
You know, he killed, you know, so he was taking fools out. He's tracking people that had the tracker on Jared. He finally finds Philip and Elizabeth. He finds them. He kills the woman at the safe house. Like, he's taking fools out, right?
Yeah,
he kills all these MFs, all these folks, and then he finds Philip and Elizabeth. He's like, I'm taking you in. Like, huh?
Right.
Like that part to me felt a little like convenient, but I'm not, you know.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
Especially since his whole thing was like, you know, you killed my people and I'm going to take you guys, take you all out.
It could have been.
I'm bringing you to justice.
Played a different way. He could have had them together and he could have tried to kill them. Or like he could have said, he could have given them a speech.
Sure.
Or something. And then Jared could have still shot Larrick.
Right.
The whole I'm taking you in could have just been cut out altogether.
Well, and I also think it's a weird, I mean, I think we often forget, like, you know, when we're watching, you know, sides and things get blurred and good guys and bad guys get blurred, that Larrick is a Navy SEAL and he's a military guy and those were his comrades who got, his comrades, that's wrong, but his colleagues that got killed and,
he called them brothers, which I like.
His brothers that got killed, this is military, so maybe he wanted to see these guys be brought to justice as opposed to just vigilante.
How do you choose? Like, when do you all of a sudden you turn on your judicial switch?
Exactly, after you just killed 15 right. people getting to them.
Right.
Like, I'll kill you. But you two. You two.
You're going to go to trial. Justice.
You know, why not just tase everybody? Or, like, you know, anyway, who knows? So that happened. And we did see, so that helped for the reveal. That was a nice little button that happened there. You know, Larrick and Jared. Jared had a lot to say, too, for a long time. He bled out for a long time. Like, it's kind of one of those funny scenes where it's like...
like, I feel like on the Talk Soup. No. Talk Soup would totally make fun of that scene. It'd be like, really? Tell us more.
Yeah, are you dead yet, Jared? Dying? No, I'm not dead yet. I just one more thing
he
to say.
He would just keep coming back.
I killed my parents. Oh, and I killed my sister. And oh, and I'm a spy.
And the following 13 different reasons.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and I was in love with Kate. Right. Oh, yeah. And I'm it's like, dude, you're bleeding out of your neck. Like, how long did it take to die?
I was surprised that hearing all of that, Elizabeth didn't just be like, oh, I'm going to just let you bleed out, my friend. You are the enemy.
Well, I was totally expecting Elizabeth to shoot him or do something because they just kind of watched. But the look on Philip's face the whole time was just like, what? He had some great looks, man. Like, between the look he gave Elizabeth at the end when she's like, well, maybe Paige should be a spy. He was like, what? You know,
but, like, not
disgust,
at all. Like, it was more like. Know, it's very subtle.
Yeah, and he's...
Lauren Lee Nelly would really like that.
Yes,
the subtleties in the acting.
Well, that's, you know, that's what that Matthew Reese is good at, acting. He's good at that. And being handsome. Like, is that your subtle look there? I'm not buying it.
Not so subtle.
Yeah, that's a subtle. I don't believe it. So we'll be at the confrontation. So it turns out, just to button this thing up, it turns out that Jared... was now, so it turns out that the center has approached Leanne and Emmett about, you know, maybe, you know, turning Jared. They said, no, not our son, just like Philip and Elizabeth would.
Right.
And they said,
because these second generationals, that would make for great American-born CIA operatives.
Yeah, we can really get them in. Like, we can't get you in, because they'll run a background check and be like, wait a minute, you know, you're Russian.
Or you never existed until 3 days ago.
Yeah, well, how are you? So that they would never stand up against CIA background check, but born in this country.
Or they'd be like, why are you so agile for, like, a 40-year-old?
Right, exactly. So, the whole, no, exactly. So, they did that, and they send in old Kate, whose job was to seduce this young 17-year-old boy. I mean, come on. And, you know. And
now Kate makes a lot more sense where it was sense. Like,
again,
enter Kate.
When we, when we rewatch the season, we'll be like, oh, yeah, Kate. And then I would also want to rewatch that conversation, their body language in the diner when we saw them talking.
Right.
Like, I'm sure, you know, because it felt. We thought it was one thing, but it was clearly another thing.
And clearly that's why they kept saying, why does Kate go as herself to him?
Like, yes, exactly.
Why isn't she wearing a disguise? I mean, they really just use sex on anyone that will take
it. Exactly.
On each other, on the enemy.
And if you're 16, 15, 16, 17, and Kate's knocking on your door.
Right.
Like, okay, I'll be a spy. You know, and you're a 15-year-old. And so they got him all up to, he was 18, obviously. And so he, I don't know how early they got him. Really, I'm going to assume maybe 16, 15, 16. But by the time they got to him, how long do you think they had him? You
know, I don't know. I mean...
I'm assuming a few years for him to be able to be like, okay, well, I pledge my allegiance to the Soviet Union and Kate, and I'll just kill my parents and my sister. I mean, you know, they must have had him for a while.
I mean, yeah, that's true. He knew how to kill.
Yeah.
He knew how to operate a gun.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the same thing as what I just said. But he didn't kill Larrick, though.
No.
That was so weird, though. Who did?
Oh, I think that Philip, I think we're to say that Philip had some sort of gun back there. It was a weird move.
Or was it Jared?
No.
Did Jared just like he fell and like lean up? And
no, like, it felt like Philip did a thing like behind his back.
Yeah, there was a lot of ruffling around and then gunshots.
But it was cool. It was cool the way it went down. But like, so but back to Jared, this whole notion that this kid is, you know, he's a sleeper spy with his own family. It kind of speaks to what, you know, this whole, all of season one was really about, you know, Philip and Elizabeth wrapping their heads around, and us as the audience together, all wrapping our heads, our collective heads around the fact that they are spies. They are in America. They have multiple loyalty, their loyalties to the Soviet Union, to mm-hmm. each other. Like, it's really effing complicated. Like, all these emotions. You like this country. Philip likes his cool car.
They're
like,
also travel agents.
Yeah, yeah. It's
they have all to keep up that front
that they love about America, but right. they're not really Americans because they're communists who are fighting for the cause, who mm-hmm. wants to take out this evil Ronald Reagan and stupid America. So,
I love Gad hanging.
Oh, Gad, the giant Reagan picture. Yeah. That was like a 90x70 picture of Reagan, whatever it was. But anyway,
very serious.
Where the houses look. It sounds great. Anyway, so the notion that, again, all this is now challenged because you only thing you really have to believe is that the center and Mother Russia knows what's right. Like, everything we're doing is for the greater cause. We get right. our orders, blindly follow our orders, no matter what Mother Russia tells us, because they know what's right. And the whole time, they're like running secret ops within the secret op. They're like Philip and Elizabeth didn't know that Jared's a spy, and they're trying to exfiltrate him and get him out and do all this other stuff. And the center knew, but right. no one knew that. And all those interactions with Elizabeth, which is also strange. Why didn't Jared just come clean at any given moment? Like, why keep his cover with, once Elizabeth revealed herself, like, hey, this is me. I'm really a spy. Your parents are spies. Why didn't he just go, I'm a spy too? Like, the center will explain everything. Let's get back to the cabin.
Maybe for whatever, you know? for whatever Kate had told him, maybe she said never reveal or like.
Right.
I don't know.
Or maybe like, it maybe had a lot to do with, maybe it had more to do with the lack of communication. You know, it's not like they have hotlines and cell phones. You know, it took forever to get these messages back and forth to each other. Maybe they didn't. I just feel like that in that moment when they're trying to exfiltrate Jared, like at some point someone said, oh, by the way, Jared's a spy. Don't worry. The center has it all under control.
Or when he's like, when they're worried that he's unsafe, he, right. well, I guess she didn't tell him who she was until that morning. She kept being the social worker. What was he going to be like? Hey, you don't have to wear that disguise. I know who you are.
Yes. Well, did he? This is so confusing. I don't know. Maybe he really didn't know the whole time. He must have known because Kate must have said something. Or does Kate keep it all separate? Does Kate like?
I don't know, because weren't Philip and Elizabeth kind of going rogue on the whole Jared thing? Like, it was more like they were doing it as a friend to Leanne and Emmett.
Well, the whole Jared thing was, yes, but also the exfiltration came after Kate. Remember, Kate's the one who said, get Jared out. She left it on the toilet paper. So Kate's the one who started that ball rolling, get Jared out.
Right, but prior to that, they were already checking in on him.
They were just trying to find their friend's killer. It was like...
Right.
And then, yeah, but they were checking in on him.
But they were doing the finding of the friend's killer on right. their own accord. Right. They weren't doing it because...
Yeah, they were doing that.
It wasn't an assignment.
They were doing it on their own with Claudia.
Wait, also... Remember when Stan was looking through the briefcase and was like, hey, there's a slot here for uh-huh. some files. Jared must have taken the files.
Right. That's very true. Good point. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was a real head scratcher, but it really just calls into question again, like what?
So many things.
Yeah. What their whole existence. So now at the end you see
who
them.
Who do you trust?
Well, it's just their whole thing of like, we're doing this all, and then now they're at, what they ask me to turn my daughter. I'm not turning my daughter. Like, what can the center ask me to do? And what is my job? What is not my job?
Where are the boundaries?
Where are the boundaries? It takes us right back to season one where Philip was like, I'm ready to defect.
But can they quit? I went out of here. Like, I mean, it's like a job. You're like, I resign.
You can't quit, but you can defect. Like, they can go right. into the CIA and be like, I'm a spy. I'll give you all my secrets. I'll tell you everything you need to know in exchange for my safety and immunity.
And or why not just be like, hey, guys, I'm going to just be an American now. Cool.
Yeah, well, then he'll be looking over his shoulder as Russians try to kill him. I think that may ultimately happen. I mean, it's great. It's interesting, though, because we spent all of season one with Philip and Elizabeth sort of like at odds and the splitting and then sort of getting back together.
When they split up, I was really upset.
And then in season two, they seemed to be very much like back together in love and we're mm-hmm. a family. And now we have this, it looks like we're heading for season three, another rift here where Elizabeth's like, yeah, you know, she's going to be a spy. Because I don't think Philip's going to come around to that.
I don't either.
I don't think Philip's going to be like, no, that's cool. Yeah,
let's make our daughter a super spy. I agree with you.
So I don't know. The whole thing is just a big mind F and was really sort of cool the way that whole thing played out. Speaking of mind Fs, I want to talk a little bit about Stan. We'll come up and finish with Philip and Elizabeth. Well, let's talk about Stan for a bit because his whole arc was very interesting. You know, starting from the moment when he had that moment in the kitchen with his lovely wife, Sandra. Oh, I see. I almost had it.
You always make her more exotic.
No, Sandra.
She's just Sandra.
I love her.
I would like to say I'm finally proud of her for like calling it out and being like, "Do you want me to move out?"
Yes.
And, you know, like she is the one who's actually making sane decisions here.
Well, not only that, like their whole entire marriage was encapsulated in that one tiny scene where Stan is like thinking about work. You know, zoned out, like in the space, like thinking of thing. And her, the loving wife who knows him, is like, yeah, I know I'm effing this other dude. I know things are bad. Right. I know I'm out of here. But you look worried. I know you. What's really going on? He's like, nothing.
He's like, you don't know me as well as
you don't know me as well you think. Like,
no, she actually knows you. She's
like, okay, you're doing your thing. I'm out of here. And it's kind of like, come on, Stan. Like, you don't want this to work because this is what you do. You zone out. Whatever happened with the biker gang, whatever's going on with everything else, you zone out. And
he's preoccupied with what's happening with Nina and his big decision to make and this whole thing.
But the point is he should be able to recognize that, like, oh, this is what I do. Yeah, I zone out. Oh, yeah, I can't tell you. And that's why we're getting a divorce. I'll see you later. But instead he's like, I don't understand. Like 20 years. Like, what happened? It's like, no, Stan.
Again, why I say Stan, you know, not like, my favorite character.
He's killing me with that.
But, not that he's not acting, like, impeccably, but, like,
sure.
His character and his storyline really bug me.
Sure. I just don't like cheaters. I do like that Stan. The thing that's always been true about Stan is, you know, the one thing that he has, the one compass that points due north is not the one in his pants. It's the one that bleeds red, white, and blue. I knew that he would not, at the end of the day, I knew that he would not betray his country.
And I'm glad that he didn't because who is it that says it every time? Is it you or is it other Joe that's always like, is he doing this for Nina or is he doing this for the country?
It's always Joe.
Well, and I think that usually it is for Nina.
Right.
But in this instance, I'm very happy to see that he actually made the right choice.
I mean, he went through with it. He actually went in and got the intel. Right. Like he went in and got it. Like so it wasn't like I'm not doing this ish. Like he went in and got the intel, and he really was there. But you know, all
his moral compass.
Now, what do you think about this dream? How do you interpret this dream?
I do like how in
the dream, though, like Martha is clearly stealing, you know, putting like files in
which
her purse.
Which means then, if you like think about dreams, is that he sees it.
He subconsciously knows
right.
it. Right. Now, that's an interesting clue. Like he has to subconscious know that Martha's doing something. So that's it. We'll see if that comes up
something's
later.
Gotta happen to Martha.
But that was just as plain as day. And we're like, oh, hey, Gad wants to see you. Bloop. It's like, I'll put these in my purse, these secret documents off the copier.
And then he sees the guy he killed.
Right.
Eating a sandwich, of course, because that's what he was eating his last meal.
This burger's delicious.
Right. Oh, awkward. And then he sees Sandra having sex with the dude.
Yes.
And her staring at him like a creeper.
I have no idea what that means. I don't know if this means like the job is.
I would say that he feels like he's already lost so much.
Right.
And done such horrible things to make all these things happen
right.
that he's probably like, I can't lose anything else or I can't do another horrible thing.
Sure.
Or some conscience where like that's the answer somewhere.
I mean, maybe it's also like him when he crossed the line and killed that dude, it was the beginning of the decline of his marriage as well in his mind. So it's always like it's almost like this. They all are together like, you know,
and it's all about Nina.
Yeah.
Nina is actually the problem, if you think about it.
Nina wasn't in the dream, though.
No, but those things were.
Yeah. And Gad was absent. This is like, I could do like 30 minutes on the stream. We should dissect the stream. Like, Gad's in his office. He wasn't in the office. Where's Gad? Anyway, it's interesting. So he has that dream, and we see him go through all the motions and gets the nice floppy disk, and they put it in, and they do the thing.
Right.
And he
I love that you're like, is he memorizing?
Yeah, he's looking at it with that kind of like,
no,
grin.
He's not memorizing it. The guy can barely stay focused for a minute.
He's like, right. But of course, he had a camera, which is pretty high tech for 1983.
I thought so too, but except for the fact that it wasn't just the little piece. It was like that, like glued to his chest. That was like a whole situation.
Right. If, I wonder. Excuse me.
Oh, look at you.
I know. It makes me wonder if, if in that moment when he had that conversation with Arcady, and Arcady's like, okay, all you got to do is, you know, hand over the junk at 3 o'clock, and Nina's Free's like, how do I know? I wonder if that was another thing, like, this isn't going to happen. It's like, I don't know. Like, this is all too weird. Like, he's not, how do I know you're telling the truth? How do I know this is going to be right? And then he's like, well, have Mina meet me at the place that we, you know, that we first met. I think all that was kind of like his wheels turning and thinking, like, I don't know. Then he went on that walk, and he looked at the, you know, the Washington Monument and kind of thought, like, America.
I think he just came to his senses is what happened. It was a big ask of him, and I think that he made the right choice finally for the first time, I mean, in the entire two seasons. Also,
eat it, Arcady.
I mean, I'm not even that mad about that. I think he'll still win somehow because Stan is going to mess up again somewhere down the line.
It's interesting. And so I ask you this, like, so what about my poor, sweet, lovely Nina?
Gone.
So she's gone. I mean, she's presumably going back to the...
I hope she booked another show and that's what Russia. The issue was.
Well, she was supposed to be on my other show, The Blacklist, but she...
Oh, what was she going to be on The Blacklist?
I think she's going to be one of the FBI, one of the team, but I think she's...
To replace Mira?
No, she was Mira.
Oh, get out.
And then they picked her up on The Americans. So when they shot the pilot for Blacklist, she was not the character of Mira, but like Mira-like character. Mm-hmm. So they recast her with my girl, Mira, whose name I can never remember.
At least you know her name is Mira.
Yeah.
Probably because I told it to you.
Exactly.
Okay.
Anyway, but no, so anyway, Nina, so I'm wondering, like, I mean, is this a fair, what's our takeaway with Nina? Nina's character, two seasons. I posited a couple episodes ago about, is she an opportunist? Is she like jumping on any train? Is she focused with the U.S., with Russia? Like, is she?
I think she was just in a shitty situation. Sorry. I said it.
Sorry.
But yeah, I think that she kind of got like the crap end of the stick because she was being so controlled and manipulated by both sides that I think she felt stuck and just took, you know, the better of two evils, really.
So,
and I do think after talking to Costa Ronan and seeing this episode, I think he may do something to help her.
Maybe.
Because he's been trying to help her. He gave her money and was like, go like the wind, you know?
And he's got like his dad is Gorbachev or whoever. Like his dad's super high up that we don't know who
his
dad
and they
is.
Kept hinting at that.
Yeah.
Yet, well, they said that his family was dangerous, but then they also said he can do whatever he wants. And they haven't actually exercised any of that yet. So I feel like maybe they save that in their back pocket for next season.
Maybe he's going to make a call and have Nina back in the office.
Or at least have her not killed or whatever terrible things
on
could
trial.
Happen.
It's
maybe she's going to fall in love with Anton and they're going to work in that place with Vasily.
Maybe.
Now I'm just getting crazy.
Vasily, they did it, right? Nina and Vasily?
I think she did things to him. But I don't know that things were done to her.
That's gross. Not Nina.
See, that was pretty PC what I just said.
So what do we make? I mean, Nina's fate. I mean, do you think she got what's coming to her? Like, what's your take? Now that it's all said and done, Nina Sorvini.
I'm just glad she's out of there. That was a crappy situation for her.
But are you like she got what she deserved, or poor Nina?
I don't know that she deserved any of what she even got.
Right.
It from start like day one. Really, I think she.
Are you like poor Nina? Or are you like, hey, there she goes?
I do. I'm kind of like, well, she left, but hey, we got Oleg still. So I don't really feel a loss. I kind of feel just, like, content.
Sure. Fair enough.
You are going to miss Nina.
Oh, I'll miss Nina for sure. You know
what's weird, though? Wait, we need to pause about that for a second. Because Sandra is moving out. Nina is going back to Russia. We're going to be the women of this entire show.
Kate's dead.
Kate's dead.
Claudia's on CBS.
Right.
Like, I don't know. Yeah,
we got is Elizabeth and Paige.
Yeah. Leanne showed up, died, you know. So,
oh, yeah. Well, obviously.
We'll see.
Woman who has safe house, dead.
Dead. The honeypot blonde, she's not dead, but she's gone.
Oh, I always forget about her.
I know, she's around.
She's just so not important to me.
Anyway, yeah. Whatever. Right. Oh, Martha. We still got Martha, who's
Martha!
Who will touch on the Martha Clark situation. It looks like they're setting up a divorce, right?
Oh, totally, because she wants to have kids and he can't, and yeah. That is so perfect.
Which is great, because I don't want Martha to die or go to jail or get caught stealing stuff. And I love right. Martha, but the storyline's like, all right, I'm kind of done with
womp. She belongs on Mad Men.
Yeah, she does. And I think she's a great actress, and she's great.
Totally. I'm just over her.
You know,
wish they would have sent her away then instead of Nina.
Yes. Well, I'm sure that they'll resolve that next season. And they may even do it with a line at the beginning like, oh, yeah, Martha and I didn't work out.
Wait, you know? In the last episode of the last season, didn't they get married? Or was that that was not this season?
That was last season. They got married. It was
the last episode.
It was a few. It was deep in. And Claudia was there. And everyone was
there. They were the family.
Yeah. So we'll see. I think that this is that marriage is not gonna last, but anyway, so Stan does not do the thing he does. Now that bit at the end where Stan like is stalking at the Residentura and watching them take Nina away, I think was that like because they said they were just gonna kill her, right?
No, they said she was going to trial.
No, I'm talking to Stan.
Oh.
Stan, they told Stan like they roughed her up, like we got her all beat up, and if you don't do the thing, we're gonna just kill her. So when Stan sees her, like, gently being put into a car and carted away, did Stan think, like, okay, this was all, I did the right thing because they were all playing me. I mean, do you think that the question is, do you think Stan knew he was getting played by Nina or not? That's the only thing I don't know. Because we kept saying all season, Stan's world's going to crash when he finds out his best friend and neighbor is our spy and his woman's out to get him. So,
I think that was more, I mean, we could go that route and we can all, you know, break this down and down and down and never have the answer. But I do think, and please write us and let us know what you think, guys, who are listening and watching. I think personally that it was more like his send off. Like that was the only way he could say goodbye. Like he obviously was watching. Like if he thought she was really going to die, what would he see?
Right.
Why would he be sitting there?
But I don't
there?
Know if they, but I guess, yeah, I don't know. Exactly.
I think it was more like that was him saying goodbye, saying his piece, seeing that it was all wrapped up in a bow. Because he did care about her. I think he wanted to see, you know, her well-being taken care of or whatever. But I don't think it was because he didn't trust what was going on.
Right.
Because he looked very unfazed. It was more about her and, like, you're leaving.
And we did, and so we had that poignant goodbye between those two lovers, and we also had another poignant goodbye between Oleg and Nina, which was sort of a look, and it kind of just reminded me of what Arkady said, like, don't tell women you love them, the rest of women don't like it.
Right.
It was just sort of this look of he's like, she's like, yeah.
Which I loved that moment that he gave Stan advice. It's like, Stan, you sap. Like, come on,
grow it's almost like he's, you know, like he's really rubbing it in. Like, by the way.
Right. You made terrible choices, Stan. Yeah. All for a woman you told you loved too many times that she never respected you. Like, really?
Yeah, what do you think, what's Stan going to come back like in season 3? Like, he's lost both women. He lost his friend Chris got shot.
I think he's shot a guy in cold blood.
Like, all he has is, he's gonna come back with the Terminator. All he has is the job.
And he still doesn't even know who killed Leanne and Emmett. I wonder if that will ever come out. It can't.
Yeah.
Because what are they gonna say? Like, oh, their child, who also died here with these people.
And that's unresolved too, because it's like, he went missing, and I wonder how they're gonna clean that up, or how they clean that up, or will the body show up? Will Eric's body ever show up? Will they just be
maybe
AWOL?
They'll make it look like they killed each other, or like got into like some kind of
Larrick, you know, went, but I don't know, who knows what they'll do with that. But they can't do that, because Larrick is in league with the KGB, so we'll compromise the KGB. That's the whole thing.
Well, no, because, that's true, because if they say Larrick,
then
killed,
like, why would Larry
Leanne
kill
and Emmett?
Like, was he a spy? And they wouldn't do that. Right. Which is all we have to remember where our loyalties are, because it's like, it's confusing.
I wonder if they will address all of these little points.
Maybe. And then so all that happens. So then we in our little epilogue, we have that nice meeting with Claudia, you know, in her probably her final scene of The Americans, which is great. Margot Martindale again classed up the joint for one scene, like, you know. But, you know, where she kind of explains, like, this is what happened, and I wasn't a part of it. And Elizabeth says, I believe you. For the first time, she's finally not mean to her, you know, after, like, kind of 15 episodes of her being like, I hate you.
Right.
But, so she's, believes her, and so that is a deal, and then she delivers the hard news. But here's the bad news. You're next. Paige is next. Like, oh, that's crazy. No. Paige is next. Not like they want Paige to be next. That's what's going to happen.
Right.
These are your orders. And like, so that was kind of a really cold moment. And also,
it was a reminder also that they are not, like, that Paige is not their, just their daughter, that they are the children of the mother country or whatever it is.
Right. And the thing about this is, which is weird, is like,
a cult in itself.
It felt like an experiment, like, oh, we tried this thing out with Jared, it didn't work. So let's try it again with Paige. Not like we tried this thing out with Jared, it didn't work, and oh well. Like, maybe we won't try that anymore. But they're like,
she's saying is it doesn't work going behind the... Like, actually, she was giving them... Showing them respect by saying, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen, and you should just go with it. Otherwise, they will find a way to get your child in, and you saw what happened when they tried to get, you know...
Sure.
They turned their kid against them.
And also, it's interesting. It's like... It just really makes you wonder, like, what did they think was going to happen? Because, again, in season one, it's like they're the first of this program, right? They're like, it's one thing to be like, we're going to, you know, in Russia, meet each other and then be stationed together, get married, be groomed for this whole thing.
Like, how does that end?
Exactly.
Like, wins the war, and then what? You pick up your family, and you're like, hey, kids, by the way, we're spies. We're going to go back to Russia, where we're actually from and been from this whole time.
When the center says, oh, yeah, have some kids, and we'll make it look better for you. So you have a couple kids. You know, it's all great for 13, 14, 15 years. And then what?
Right.
What do they think is going to happen? Like, it's almost like did Philip and Elizabeth even ask themselves that question? I mean, like, if they played this thing out, they would have thought, like, oh, yeah, like, that's right.
Well, what it sounded like when Elizabeth had described it, you know, the various times she's talked about their job, is that they are still going to be in America even if their operations end and if Russia wins the war, let's say, or whatever it is. Sounds like they're going to be stuck in America. Like, that's what they signed up for. They're just, that's where they are.
It's, what's interesting too is that, do you think Paige will actually take to this? Cause Paige is such an idealist, and I don't see that in any way, shape or form that Paige will be like, oh, cool, spies. Okay. I'll be a spy.
And for a country I have no connection to.
And I hate you guys, by the way.
What's the weirdest part about this program is that they're targeting children that aren't born in Russia, don't know they're Russian, have no affinity toward Russia or trust in the center. They weren't raised that way. They weren't through that program. They have no idea. And somehow, though, they turned Jared, so I don't know.
But they turned Jared by bringing in a hot girl to sleep with him for 3 years.
Right, what are they going to do to Paige?
You know, starting at 10 years. Yeah, here's Pastor Tim. I don't know.
Or here's a hot CIA dude.
Yeah, like, I don't know. But anyway, last thing, it's interesting to see because it feels very like what I think the communist idea is of like, you know, oh yeah, you have a daughter, turn her into a spy.
Right.
Well, how am I going to do that? Like, I don't know. You're her parents. Make her a spy. Like, we'll check back with you in 2 years. She better be a spy or you're all dead. It's like, huh?
Right. And also, like, it's a communal daughter. Like, it's,
right. She's our daughter too. Right. If you don't make her a spy, we will.
Right.
You know, it's like, what? And if we don't make her a spy, then we'll shoot her and kill her and we'll kill you because it's, you know, whatever. We got more of you out there.
Or we'll have her kill you. Even better.
Okay. So let's that's that. It was a great, great, great episode. Great season two. Great Americans are just awesome as ever. Let's get some predictions for maybe season three.
And I have a couple. Predictions.
You want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first because I just want to talk, you know, just Stan. I really think that we're going to see, you know, Stan is the whole Stan's home life. And now Stan, now keep in mind that, you know, Sandra moved out. So Stan still lived next door to Philip and Elizabeth. That was very convenient. Stan didn't move out. So that's going to, I think that Stan's got better to do than to really, you know, kind of really take a closer look at his friend Philip. So see what, I think that thing's going to ramp up. He's going to be only dedicated to the job. There's no more love interest for Stan, I think, at this point. I think Philip and Elizabeth are in for a world of trouble. I think Philip is not going to let Paige be indoctrinated. I think Elizabeth is all about it.
Yeah.
And I think you'd have a situation where it may be like, don't tell Dad I'm telling you this, but you're a spy.
Ooh.
And who, I think it's going to have a lot of that, like, you know, Henry and Philip on one side and Elizabeth and Paige on another. We'll see how that works out.
I don't know. I feel like if they knew Paige at all, they would know that Paige is not somebody that's also going to just roll over and do whatever they say.
Right. Especially her parents that she hates. Her parent, you know.
Like, and then also, what if they try and make, like, what they're saying is they're going for Paige next.
Right.
Okay, but what if Paige says no? And now she knows that they're spies, and now the whole cover is blown. Like, how do they know Paige is going to say yes?
Yeah.
And what do they do if she says
no? Well, that's my whole point. Russia's like, I don't care.
They don't take no.
Yeah, you're the parent. Make her a spy. Do it. Like, I don't know. Right. She's not supposed to say, you know.
It's a very interesting turn of events. I cannot wait to see what happens. I don't know that I have any predictions other than the same ones you do. And I'm just excited to see what happens.
Right. Me too. Well, thank you very much for joining us for 13 wonderful episodes of The American Season 2. Hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Joe Sanfilippo is not here, but you can find him on Twitter at Joe Flippo and on his wonderful website, josephsanfilippo.com. JTJ, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jen the Jew. You can find me on my website at it's jennifergolden.com, obviously, right. And Facebook, Jennifer Golden.
And you can only find me on Twitter and Instagram at Joe K. Braswell for both. And here doing Mad Men and Hannibal for
Oh, and I start the night shift.
The night shift. There it is. Thanks for joining us. It was great having you. Thanks for checking us out on iTunes and YouTube. And we'll see you next season. Bye.
Executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff. We would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.